So Daniel 3, starting in verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then, what god will be able to rescue you from my hand? So picture that. I mean, put yourself in that situation. You're in front of the king, who's the king of the world's largest empire, and he's looking at you, furious with you personally. And disobeying looks like certain death. But here's how they respond. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. I love that, by the way. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of gold you have set up. So here they know the consequences, but refuse to worship anything besides the true king. He gets even more upset. He raises the temperature of the furnace 7 times the heat, and they're thrown into the fire. But miraculously, God protects them. They are able to step out of this furnace completely unharmed, and to the king's amazement. And finally, the last account we're going to touch on is on Daniel in the lion's den. And that's in chapter 6. And this is several Babylonian kings later. So it's believed that Daniel and his friends remained in this land for the rest of their lives. In this circumstance, again, an edict was issued for all to pray only to King Darius. If you prayed to any other god, you would be thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel continued to pray to the true Lord, as he had always done. And he would pray several times a day, and it would be right outside an open window. And so again, everybody could see, and he was arrested and thrown into the lion's den. So here's what happens there. Daniel 6, 19 through 22. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, be able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. It's just incredible. In these situations, these men obviously could have responded so very differently when faced with these very real dangers. But they, refused to lose sight of the supreme rule and reign of God. And because they viewed their lives in light of God's true eternal kingdom, they were able to not be overwhelmed by their present circumstances. And so how about us? What are we facing even right now in our lives that can tempt us to zoom in and tempt us to lose the perspective of God's kingdom? It doesn't take long to think about, right? But I was just briefly thinking and just thinking how many times that we don't get to choose the circumstances in which we live our lives or glorify God. For example, we don't get to pick our genetic makeup or the families that we were born into. We don't get to choose our time in history that we were born, or even some of the places that we're going to spend our days. And maybe if even a lot of these circumstances are favorable, if you were at church last week, you heard Othniel, he taught about the wisdom found in the book of Ecclesiastes, how sometimes the race is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them, happen to us all. Are there injustices that you endure? What are the stresses and fears in your own life? Classes? Probably, certainly. Finances? Health? Family? The future? Loneliness? All of us have found ourselves in difficult circumstances, but an encouraging thought is that we too can choose what level of importance they hold by viewing our lives in light of the eternal kingdom of God. In the New Testament, we see the Apostle Paul describing the same concept. And 2 Corinthians shares, this is again the Apostle Paul, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And again, that's the key right there, fixing our eyes on what is eternal, not temporary. So anything we face in this lifetime is ultimately temporary, but the reality of God's kingdom is eternal. And that's why Paul, who in his life faced stoning, persecution, imprisonment, relational turmoil, shipwrecks, beating, etc., could call his troubles light and momentary. It's incredible. And that's why Daniel and his friends could boldly serve and worship the Lord in captivity under pagan rule. And that is how for us, viewing and living our lives in light of the reality of God's supreme eternal kingdom can help us not be overwhelmed by our present circumstances. And now having an eternal kingdom perspective not only helps us not be overwhelmed, but it also gives us identity and direction in life. So going back to the book of Daniel, it's really interesting to note that when him and his friends were taken into captivity and selected to serve in the king's service, this is one of the things that happened. So we're going to read about it, Daniel 1, 6 through 7. "Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego." So in many ways, just like today, but especially in ancient societies, names held very important meanings for people. So one of the things that happened a lot is that a conquering power, they would come in, take a group of people into captivity, and they would change their names because they wanted these people to completely assimilate into their foreign kingdom. And it also had a very demoralizing effect. Changing their names would rob them of their history, heritage, their culture, their identity. Many times these were family names, so it would strip them of all of these things. And obviously that was the intentional point, to change their entire identity. And they wanted the bearer of the new name to eventually start walking out their new name in this new land. So the Hebrew names Daniel and his friends had reflected the true God, Yahweh. And there are some variations in interpretation, but the names they were given in captivity reflected the false gods of the Babylonians. So I put them all up there. Here's the meanings of all of their names. So Daniel, the meaning of his name is God is my judge. But they changed it to Belteshazzar, which is favored by Baal. Hananiah, his name meant Yahweh is gracious, was changed to Shadrach, illuminated by Rach, or the sun god. Mishael, who is like Yahweh, into Meshach, who is like Shach, the Babylonian Venus version god. And then Azariah, Yahweh has helped, changed to Abednego, servant of Nego, the god of fire. But the cool thing here is that, as we saw, they refuse to concede to these new names. Regardless of their new names, the reality of the eternal kingdom held supreme, and they lived out of that the identity of their primary names and the purposes they had held in worshiping the true king. And so it's neat, even if you look at the three friends' names, Yahweh has helped. Who is like Yahweh? Yahweh is gracious. You think back about in the fiery furnace, the boldness which was they stood up to the king. And then Yahweh was all of these things. It's really cool. And then as another example, Daniel, take him for a moment. Again, his name means God is my judge. And we see him living in concern only of pleasing Yahweh, knowing that ultimately he's the only one he needs to please. And the cool thing here is that we see it was obvious to everybody. If you guys don't mind going back with me, the account of the lion's den, listen again to how the king addresses him in the morning. Daniel 6:20. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Servant of the living God, whom you serve continuously. I love that. In a foreign land, that's what the king says of him. So I wonder again about us. What names have we been given? Maybe by others, or maybe even by ourselves. And how have those identities influenced what we see our purpose as? See, as followers of Christ, God's word says so much about who we are. It says we are loved and chosen, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're precious, we're His kids, we're part of God's own family. And to what end? For what purposes? 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." So who God says we are and what He has made us for is our true identity and purpose. And this rises above and it permeates through all the names and roles that you will ever have in your life. So you are a child of God, made to declare His praises as a son and as a daughter, brother or sister, citizen of the United States of America, or citizen of another country you are from. You are a child of God, made to declare His praises as a Buckeye or a Wolverine, in any class, major, or job that you someday hold. And you are a child of God, made to declare His praises even beyond situations and positions. What about in the confines of your mind? Does how you think about yourself reflect what the living God says about you? It's so important that we view and live our lives in light of the reality of God's supreme eternal kingdom. This can help us give us identity and direction by just settling those super important questions about who we are and what our purpose is. And wouldn't it be so amazing if it was said of all of us, servants of the living God who you serve continually? I think that'd be awesome. And so in all the circumstances we face, the questions of purpose and identity, ultimately viewing and living our lives in light of the reality of God's kingdom can give us peace as we rest in His sovereignty. So earlier I mentioned Lord of the Rings, and there's actually a lot of well-known interactions, and there's one I want to share, but can any of you guess? I looked up. I was like, what's the most famous one? Can any of you guess what's the most famous like quote or scene from this trilogy? Yeah. Is that what you were saying too? Yeah. Gandalf, this too shall pass. Or no, you shall not pass. Okay. It's so epic. It's such a great scene. That's not the one we're talking about, but I love that. All right. Okay. So the one I do want to talk about, it's an interaction between two of the main characters. It's Frodo, and he's a hobbit. And then Gandalf is a wise wizard. And this quote, I think it really captures sentiments that most of us can relate to at some point in our lives. So this quote comes after Frodo is just reflecting on all the things that have happened. And he says, "I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened." And so then Gandalf responds, "So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." And this is the part, Lakestar. "There are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides that of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you were also meant to have it. And that is an encouraging thought." So God's kingdom is truly at work in this world. and God's power breaking through. We see that in the accounts of Daniel and his friends. And in the rest of the book of Daniel, which we don't even have time to touch on, those last six chapters, through dreams, God reveals things that are to come far beyond Daniel's life and some even our lives. And as difficult and as messy as it seems, God is actively accomplishing his good plan. A prime example is it's super stunning to see that what the Lord does through just the faith and the unwavering dedication that we see displayed in Daniel and his friends' lives. So multiple of the Babylonian kings, actually both of the one we mentioned, Nebuchadnezzar and King Darius, publicly acknowledged to the whole known world the supremacy of the Lord. So we're going to read their accounts. The first one's in Daniel 4, 1 through 3. And this is, it's written, you can see in the text, it's a letter that King Nebuchadnezzar sends out. He says, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the nations and people of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. And then he goes on and on, speaking of all these things that the Lord does for him. And then the next quote is from King Darius, chapter 6, starting in verse 26. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Now again, these are words coming out of the mouths of pagan kings. It's incredible. And it's no different for us. God is still present and active in all these situations that we face. And we can rest in his goodness and his sovereignty. And just as Gandalf tells Frodo that he was meant to be the ring bearer, God's word actually says some incredible things about our reality. The Bible speaks of God knowing us before the creation of the world and intentionally determining the times and places that we will live. It states that he knows the number of days that we have before even one of them comes to pass, and that he has good works planned in advance for each of us to walk in. And then God also says and promises to never leave us or forsake us in all of these things. And now, as Gandalf mentions, isn't that an encouraging thought? I really actually appreciate the time in history that God has placed us in for a lot of reasons. But one is that I love that we are on this side of history from knowing about Jesus and his coming to the earth, God in the flesh. He stepped into our world and so powerfully and tangibly demonstrates God's great love for us and the reality and the power of his eternal kingdom. And before he died on the cross, we have recorded a conversation that he had with his disciples where he was telling them about the difficulties that they were going to face. In John 16:33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I love that Jesus kind of sets our expectations. And then he lovingly prepares us for what we will face. But then he assures us that one day all will be well. In viewing and living our lives in light of the reality of God's supreme eternal kingdom can help us rest in God's bigger plan and his sovereignty, knowing that he truly is the king above all kings and kingdoms. So as we go out from this place today, I just have a simple encouragement for all of us, and that is that we spend time this week further considering how God's kingdom impacts our lives. So I've summarized here just kind of what we talked about this morning. And the reason I was excited about sharing these things is because truly and honestly, these are some of the most encouraging things through my whole pilgrimage with the Lord so far. even preparing what I wanted to share, it's just been such an encouraging week. And so anyways, hopefully some of these are encouraging to you. Again, living in the reality of God's kingdom can help us not be overwhelmed in our circumstances, give us identity and direction, and then just be able to rest in God's bigger plan. But as you think of it, I bet all of you could even think of more wonderful things, so be sure to share them with your community group. Encourage us all. And then for extra credit, but just kidding, because we don't take grades here, there is a song you can listen to. It's just been joyful. It's by Brandon Lake, and it's called I'll Praise You Anywhere. And it's just been, again, super joyful for me to listen to, because he goes through and he kind of gives nod to people throughout history, biblical accounts of how people praise and worship the Lord in incredibly difficult circumstances. And he even mentions the stories that we talked about today. So anyways, if you look it up, I hope it encourages you too. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, praise be to your name forever and ever. Wisdom and power are yours. You change times and seasons and are above all temporary rulers of this world. You know what lies in darkness, and light dwells with you. Please give us knowledge and discernment to live in light of your supreme, eternal kingdom all of our days. Amen.